for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Passover Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Service being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, April the 14th, 2006. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on The Glory of the Son is the Father.
Jerry McGee, rest of the morning is yours. When you're finished with deliverance or whatever, and you say amen, we'll have lunch. Even if it's 2 o'clock.
Glenn, I apologize to you. I look forward to the worship, but I had 3 clocks, and they all said something different, and I didn't realize it till I walked out the door. I was thinking, why? You know, Glenn must want me to be here early.
Cause he said, "Carl, know what you're talking about, so just be still."
Okay. Well, I do need to apologize for being late. Praise the Lord, and missing the wonderful worship. Lord, we just thank you that you're here. Lord, thank you that you inhabit our praises. Thank you that when 2 or 3 are gathered in your name, you're in the midst of us. Father, thank you that you've given us the mind of Christ, that we walk in the Spirit, that we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Father, we thank you that death works in us, so life works in your children. And we bless you, Lord. Thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven. You watch over your word to perform it. The leaf withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us to the place that we only want what you want, Lord. We just thank you for showing us that our way is destruction and death. God, we praise you. Thank you, Lord. We just loose holy angels into this place. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We take our seat in the heavenly places far above principalities and powers. Thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places. And we take the keys that you've given us to the kingdom of heaven to bind and loose. And we bind Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places from this meeting, from our lives. In the name of Jesus, we declare that you will not work in this place, on this campground. In Jesus' name, every spirit that would not confess Jesus as Lord is bound in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you for the angels that are ministering spirits sent out to help and care for those who are to receive your salvation. And we just loose your angels into this place, on this campground. Lord, we bless Glenn. We bless Dr. Noel. We bless Patty and Kevin. We bless every worker, Linda, every person that has a part in this place. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you and exalt you. Lord, we thank you that your word will go forth like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. We proclaim over this meeting the shaking loose of everything that's shakable, so that those things that are unshakable will remain. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Thank you that my words will be like goads, like well-driven nails, given by you, the shepherd, to target every heart. And Lord, you know your children. You know what they need. And Lord, unless you put life into this message, it's just a bunch of words, and I've wasted my time and they've wasted theirs. So Lord, we want our lives changed in Jesus' name. Put your hands on your ears. Lord, I ask for ears to hear. I have ears, but I want spiritual ears to hear. Put your hands on your eyes. Lord, give me spiritual eyes to see and physical eyes to see, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, give me, put your hand on your heart. Give me a heart that can understand so that I can turn and be healed. Proverbs 15 says that when you receive God's discipline, you will gain understanding. And so when we come to God, we have to be willing for Him to correct us. Is that correct? Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What I feel led to share, I didn't know Carla was going to share that excellent message last night on the curse of the bastard or the illegitimate curse. But basically, this message ties right in because it's on the glory of sons is their fathers. Now, it's not just boys, it's girls and boys. Proverbs 17:6 says, "And the glory of sons and daughters is their fathers." And that word sons in the Hebrew means sons and daughters. In the Word of God, the Bible tells fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And when a parent does not bring his child up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, he provokes him to anger in any area that the parent violates the Word of God. So you're either trained up in the way you should go, or you're provoked to anger. And every place your parents violated training you up according to this word, you have an anger issue, you have a button pusher issue, you have a hurt, you have a place where your heart is wounded. You didn't know you could go to God, so you turned to false gods. When I grow up, life's going to be different. Would you agree that if you don't turn to God in your pain, you turn to something else? And that promise you make yourself is a false god. And that will set you up for a lifelong, continual reaping of hurt in the areas where your parents failed to train you up in the way you should go, until you go back and you forgive your parents and you deal with your attitudes and your idolatry, and God will heal your hurt. Amen? Yes. Christianity is the only religion that will give you an opportunity to redeem lost opportunities. And God uses whatever you're going through in the present to point to whatever was not resolved when you were a child. You know, the Bible says that you're a spiritual garden. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says you're a field. You're a building, you're a field. The Bible says you're a temple. In Mark 4, Matthew 13, and Luke 8, it says you're soil. And in Isaiah 5, it says that you and I are the vineyard of the Lord of hosts. And if we've got perverted things or negative things growing in our spiritual garden, you can trace it to a seed that's been planted in childhood. The Bible says that there's a law of sowing, there's a law of reaping. Whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. If you've got perversion growing in your spiritual garden, you know there was a seed of perversion planted in childhood. You know, you can plant a grain of corn and you'll get a stalk of corn with bunches of ears of corn with hundreds of kernels of corn. You get the same thing you plant, more than you plant, and later than you plant. And as you look at the bitter, negative fruit that's growing in your spiritual garden, trace that to the root, the seed that was planted when you were not trained up in the way you should go. And you say, well, you know, I got into perversion and my mother and daddy didn't have anything to do with that. Well, you know, the Bible says the sins of the fathers, the iniquities of the fathers pass on to the children, to the third and fourth generation. You may not have known that your daddy was into perversion, your mother was into perversion, because you were not trained up in the way that you should go. And so God tells fathers to provoke not their children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But the opposite of that is true. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. You know, the way you're trained up is sets a default in your life, like a default on a computer. How many of you know about a default on a computer? Well, I don't know a whole lot about a computer, but a computer is set at the factory to do certain things. For example, and it sets a default, which means that when the computer is, like for example, if you're typing a letter, you can choose up to like 300 and something different letter styles. But the minute you go in to do another letter, the computer will kick it back to the way the factory set it. And the way you were trained up is how you were set at the factory. And you're trying to break out of these defaults. You're trying to bring change, but you keep getting kicked back into a default. But praise God, those defaults can be broken as you go back, take accountability, forgive your mother and father, break the judgments, and God will reset the default and renounce the idolatry. And so God tells a parent that we're to discipline a child. You know, discipline has hundreds of thousands of positive aspects to discipline. Only one negative side. You get a spanking when you don't listen. Discipline doesn't mean, most people think discipline is to be child abused, to be beaten, to be mistreated. But discipline means loving, care, protection, affirmation, fellowship, leadership, guidance, teaching, hugs, kisses, forgiveness, provision, and I could nurture. I could just go on and on and on. And God commands fathers to train up their child in the way they should go. In societies where the role of the father seems to be irrelevant, detached, and impersonal, young people grow up reluctantly and may be slow to be responsible adults in the society. Women don't function properly when loving male leadership is missing in a home or in a society. Some of the excesses of the women's right and of liberation, women's liberation movement, can be attributed in part to the global default of a lack of a father. And also, you could attribute a lot of prostitution to the lack of an earthly father. Many prostitutes hate men. A big portion of prostitutes are even lesbians. And it goes back to hatred of men. Terrorism, rape, and violent crime proliferate in societies where wise and loving male leadership is absent. And it is well known that children that are sexually molested by their mother or father, or even sexually molested, will often become abusers themselves. Children raised in homes without fathers are more likely to fail in life, commit crimes, abuse drugs, have children out of wedlock, live in poverty, drop out of school, be aimless, be poor fathers themselves, and commit suicide. You see, if you didn't have a father to train you up, you don't know how to be a father when you're a father. And many of our fathers didn't have fathers either. You know, I have at almost 92, a wonderful earthly father. And he gets better and sweeter every day as he gives his heart more and more to Jesus. You know, his heart, you know, growing up, when I was growing up, all they did was work, but he was always there. But this also applies generationally. I was laying in bed one morning and I was thinking about my mother's father was killed when he was 2 years old, and then his mother died the year later. He was an orphan. He was raised by his brothers and sisters. And then I thought about my daddy's side of the family. In three or four generations back, my great-great-grandmother got pregnant by a 28-year-old married man. She was 16 years old, and so she couldn't give him the name of her the man that got her pregnant, so she gave him her father's name, and so there was abandonment by a father coming down generationally. And so I began to lay in bread. Even though I had a good earthly father, I began to break generational curses of the glory of sons that did not pass down, where my forefathers did not have their father's glory. And I got major deliverance and saw a real breakthrough in the spirit when I took accountability for generational iniquities of the forefathers. You know, when I take accountability for the generational iniquities of the forefathers, I'm not saying, forgive me for granddaddy's sin. I'm saying that I'm stepping up in my bloodline, and I see all this mess coming down, and somebody has got to take accountability for it, and I put it under the blood of Jesus, and I say it goes no further. The scripture says that Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of his father Abraham. Well, Levi was Abraham's great-grandfather, and paying tithes, that would be a good thing. So he paid tithes, which was a good thing, when he was in the loins of his great-grandfather Abraham. So what does that have to say about the things that happened to us in the loins of our forefathers? And so things passed down upon us. Boys who grow up without their fathers are at least twice as likely as other boys to go to prison. 60% of rapists and 72% of adolescent murderers never knew or lived with their earthly fathers. And the issue doesn't have anything to do with class, race, or sex. Even girls that grow up in affluent homes without a father are 5 times more likely to get pregnant in their adolescence before they're even grown up. It's been proven that male homosexuals almost always describe poor relationships with their fathers. They need extra same-sex affirmation later in life to fill the hole or the vacuum that was left in their heart by the lack of a father. You know, children that don't have fathers lovingly touch and lovingly hug and lovingly kiss them crave that. And they'll get into sexual relationships in hopes of fulfilling that love need. Children that grow up with good earthly fathers know they have a daddy's love and a mother's love. In the world, it's referred to as father hunger, an empty place in the hearts of many men who never experienced the love of a father or effective fathering. For them, there was no man to pour into them those things that a boy needs, no father to guide them in their manliness, no man to model manhood for them, to teach them how to relate to women, to affirm their own masculinity. Being bonded to their mother, they're left with an uncertainty as to how to act and how to be a man. Having the familiar spirit of their mother, they take on female characteristics. A child's basic personality and unique responsiveness to his environment is established the first 5 years of his life. And there is a need for earthly fathers, good earthly fathers. A daddy affirms the little girl's femininity. He affirms the masculinity of a little boy. And, you know, damage is done when a father wants a boy and has a girl. That girl can take on masculine characteristics. Same with a boy. You know, my son died of AIDS in 1989. He lived a homosexual lifestyle. He said, "Mom, I was into sexual sin from the time I was 3. My oldest son was a virgin when he married when he was grown, and the 3-year-old, the other boy, was into sexual sin from the time he was 3 years old. And I never remember saying that I wanted a girl, but in my heart, I wanted a girl. And when they brought me that little boy, my heart sank because I wanted a girl. I don't ever remember saying that. Maybe I did. But, you know, babies absorb in the womb the emotions of their mother. And things can be imparted and transferred in the womb. My son, 2 months before he died, he said, "Mom, my whole life I have felt like I was a girl." And so we should, when it, you know, if you, most of you probably have already had children, but if you haven't, never say, give that to God and tell God you want whatever would bring him the greatest glory and honor. Terrible damage is done in the womb when a child hears that he's the wrong sex. No one is the wrong sex. We're the sex God made us. And we should submit that to God. A caring father who nourishes an intimate and loving relationship makes a profound impact upon a child's life. Remote, indifferent, unavailable human fathers can lead us to believe that God also is detached, unconcerned, and uninvolved in our daily lives and the daily cares of this world. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." Well, what about if you you have a father that is there, but he's a pervert? He's leaving you a wicked inheritance. It says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So fathers leave a legacy to their children, either a good legacy or an evil legacy. Praise God, through deliverance and through repentance, we're delivered. Repentance is the key to getting delivered. Without repentance, there is no deliverance. Amen? How I came upon this message is, for years I've heard the scripture, "The glory of sons is fathers," and I did not understand it. I even looked up the word glory. And it glory means majesty, honor, splendor. And I didn't get it. And so I was in Corpus Christi recently. And in the last 3 or 4 months, I've prayed for 3 men that are college graduates. And as I would pray deliverance over them, the Lord would show us the glory of sons as fathers. And I didn't understand it. One Afro-American, big, tall, manly, good-looking Afro-American man, graduated University of Texas, captain in the Air Force, He said, when I was growing up, he said, I didn't know my earthly father. And he said, I had a stepfather. And he said, when I was 12 years old, my stepfather, who used to spend time with us, became an alcoholic. And he didn't teach me anything. He really, he just wasn't there to teach me anything. I had no one to help me. And the Lord showed us the glory of sons as fathers. And then when I was in Corpus Christi, I prayed for another man. He said, I'm a college graduate and I can't get a job. And also this first man couldn't get a job. And the Lord showed me glory of sons as fathers. I know another man, a precious man, who is a business consultant, very knowledgeable and so intelligent, and he's struggling with the same thing. Now, he had a father, but the father hated him. The father hated men. The father loved one of the girls. And so when I was in Corpus, I was going to teach that Saturday morning, and I woke up with this scripture on my heart, the glory of sons as fathers, and I didn't understand it. And I remember saying, God, you're going to have to show me what this means. And the Lord began, as I was laying in bed, began to teach me this whole, give me insight into this scripture. And as I began to ask God to explain it, he began to tell me the word starch. Now, that's not in my vocabulary. I don't iron. if you come to my house, you have to iron your own clothes, right? So the word starch was not something that I've even thought about except to pick up a can of it at Sam's for someone else to iron. But the word starch means the quality of active mental and physical energy, verve, vigor, dash, drive, get up and go, punch, starch, spunkiness, vigorousness, vitality, hustle, liveliness, spirit, vivacity, zip, enthusiasm. And the antonym for that is lethargy, languor, and spiritlessness. And boys and girls who did not grow up with the input of a godly earthly father are lacking starch. They're lacking vigor. They're lacking enthusiasm. They're just spiritless. But on the other hand, recently the Lord showed me this and another man I ministered to. He grew up with a father that was performance-oriented, perfectionistic, rageaholic, and the son was like this, stiff all the time because he couldn't relax. He couldn't let down. And he had too much starch because he had a father that was just hovering over him, demanding excellence. And this man, if you just look at him, he's stiff looking until he got delivered. And now he's softening up. Praise God. Boys and girls who did not grow up with an earthly father, the input of an earthly father, either you didn't have a father, you had a stepfather, or you had a real father that was a couch potato or a pervert or an alcoholic, it causes there to be an aimlessness in a person's life. And aimless means devoid of direction or purpose. And I see this so clearly in these men's lives. Not producing or achieving a desired end or effect. Unsuccessful, ineffective, ineffectual, unproductive, unfruitful, useless, unavailing, pointless, bootless, which means without advantage or benefit, useless, wasted, feckless, which means lacking purpose or vitality, feeble or ineffective, careless and irresponsible, not producing or achieving a desired end or effect, losing, unprofitable. On the other hand, children that grow up with too much of a father are just stiff and can't relax. This man has a hard time relaxing. And, because parents model for us a picture of what God's like, unconsciously we think God is demanding the same thing. And God says, just come unto me, cast all your care upon me, take your yoke upon my neck, and you'll find rest. You rest for your soul. But that's a picture of, perfectionist parents. You know, God's a perfectionist. But God says that, be holy as I'm holy, be perfect as I'm perfect. And how we do that is we yield to Him and let His life come through. When I give up my life, then I find it. When I give up my life and give up control of my life, then His personality comes through. And the difference between God and this perfectionistic earthly father is God says, I want to do it for you, through you. And I want you to strive according to the mighty power, my mighty power that works within you. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. The good news is if you're still kind of sitting there feeling hopeless, is that God's going to deliver you. Hallelujah. He's going to set you free. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Can y'all hear me back there? Praise the Lord. Now can you hear me? Bless you, Lord. Okay, it says, furthermore, in verse 9, we all had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. Hallelujah. You know, when we come to Christ, He sets out to retrain us. Because earthly fathers, they trained us the best they knew how. But He trains us that we might share His holiness. So when you come to Christ, we've all got stuff and mess, because no parent is perfect. There's not, even though I had good earthly parents, there, because parents are human beings, nobody is perfect. And so when we come to Christ, then He disciplines us for our good, that we might share His holiness. In other words, as we come to Him with our problems, He trains and corrects us and conforms us into His image. He gives us an opportunity to correct those things that were not corrected growing up. And He uses your problems to show you what's got to go next. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. He uses your problems to show you what has to go next. People are mirroring what God is wanting to change in you. And Jesus said, get the logs out of your eyes, and then their specks fall out usually, or you don't even care if they have a speck. Okay, the word respect in the Greek, in a positive sense, it means that you respected your earthly parents. Well, if you couldn't respect it, it means that they confounded you. They made you feel mixed up and damned and uneasy. So a person that was not able to respect his earthly father, it made him feel confounded, confused, made to feel damned and uneasy. You just walk around feeling damned all the time, uneasy, mixed up. Now the word glory means the glory of the beauty and the glory of sons as fathers. In the Hebrew, it means beauty and glory. And the word glory in the dictionary means great honor or distinction, accorded by common consent, something conferring honor or renown, a highly praiseworthy asset. It means adoration and praise and thanksgiving offered in worship. It means majestic beauty and splendor, resplendence. It means a height of achievement, enjoyment, and prosperity. It means a halo. It means nimbus, which is a cloudy radiance said to surround a person. A radiant light that appears usually in the form of a circle or halo about or over the head in the representation of a god, demagogue, saint, or sacred person, such as a king or an emperor. It means an aura. It means aureole, which is a circle of light or radiance surrounding the head or body of a representation of a deity or holy person. In this sense, it means to rejoice triumphantly, to exult. You know, a good earthly father rejoices triumphantly and exults in his child or in his son. You know, I watch my son and his son, because his daddy left when he was 12 years old, and it was like his glory departed when his daddy left and got involved with his secretary. And I watch him now, because he had 12 years with a dad that was a good dad for 12 years. I watch him with his son. And his son is a carbon copy of him. They're best friends. My little grandson tells his daddy all of his problems every night, and he's 13. And I'm saying his personality, his disposition, because he's had a godly father imprint him. And the negative is also true. If you had a wrong kind of earthly father, you get imprinted with the wrong thing. An example would be like to rejoice triumphantly, exult like a sports team that gloried in its hard-won victory. An example is no father to wear your jersey. You know, this probably, I was thinking about this when God was giving me this message. When my son that's my pastor now, when he was about 17, my godly son, when he was about 17, it was the night that all the daddies wore the football jersey, and my son was the only one there, or one. To me, he was the only one there. But he said, "Mother, most of them didn't have fathers to wear their jerseys too. And you just don't even worry about it." I said, "Oh, son, it's my fault." Anyway, he didn't have anyone to wear his jersey. And you know, a child without a father, it's an expression, so to speak, doesn't have anyone to wear his jersey lifelong. No one there to give him confidence. No one there to encourage him. No one there to say, "Son or daughter, you can do it. You can do it." My dad used to tell me, "You can do anything you put your mind to do." That's what he used to tell me. "You can do it, Jerry. You can do it." It's like we need our fathers to press us on and to prod us and to urge us on and to be our fan. It means grandeur, the quality or condition of being grand. It means magnificent, greatness or lavishness of surrounding. It means stateliness, dignified and impressive, nobility, a class of persons distinguished by high birth or rank. You know, if we've got this halo in the spirit, you know, you can't see it with the earth, with natural eyes. But in the spirit realm, the powers of darkness see if you have a halo or not. And they can set you up for failure. The scripture says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, it will be like a graceful wreath about your head and ornaments about your neck." Now, that's if we hear our father's instruction. And the mother represents the church. If you've been taught up and trained up in the ways of God. It means nobility, a class of persons distinguished by high birth or rank, majesty, a state or position of outstanding power or importance. It means eminence, a position of great distinction or superiority. It means preeminence, superior or to notable above all others. It means distinction, the act of distinguishing, differentiating. It means illustriousness, prestige, the level of respect at which one is regarded by others. It means a personal high standing among others, honor and esteem. It means prominence, which is the quality or condition of being prominent. It means renown, the quality of being widely honored and acclaimed. It means standing, to have status and rank and reputation. It means notability, the state of quality of being eminent or worthy of notice. Celebrity, impressiveness, means making a strong or vivid impression, being striking or remarkable. It means to feel or express joy or satisfaction about an event, exult, celebrate, bubble over, crow, delight. And that's what good fathers do. They bubble over and crow about their children. It's like, you know, it in school, little children, "Well, my daddy said this. Well, my daddy did this." How little children like to brag on their daddy. My daddy has been my greatest hero of my entire life. I am so thankful that at almost 92, I have the best relationship with him that I've ever had. I talk to him every day. And he's the kind of daddy that'll talk deep stuff to you. My precious mother was always so busy working that she wouldn't talk deep stuff to you. It was just all, you know, service. But my daddy is all heart. He'll just talk to you. And he always knows how to fix everything. He's still in the attic at 92 trying to fix his electric. I said, "Dad, you're going to fall through the roof." But he's a fixer. It means jump for joy, rejoice, revel, make merry. And the opposite of that, and this is how God began to show me when I began to look up the antonym for glory. It means to be paltry or lacking in importance or worth. It means to be trivial, trash, ragged, deficient in quality or quantity, meager, inadequate, mere, insubstantial means lacking substance or reality. It means to be scant, scanty, skimpy, sparse, scarce, infinissable, inappreciable, too small to be noticed or make a significant difference. You know, if a child's treated like that, everybody treats him that way. Because that judgment pulls other people to do that bad thing that fulfills our picture of the way life goes. It means to be inconsiderable, spare, poor, limited, small, little, slight, insignificant. Smallness meaning being below average in size or magnitude, limited in importance. It means triviality, of little significance or value, ordinary, commonplace. It means lowliness, having or suited for a low rank of position. It means unworthiness, unimportance, not important, petty, marked by meanness or lack of generosity, especially in trifling matters. It means to be idle, not employed or busy, avoiding work or employment, lazy, lacking substance, value or basis, to pass time without working or while avoiding work. To move lazily and without purpose, to run at a slow speed or out of gear, to pass time without working or while avoiding work, to waste time, be idle. It means insignificance, the quality or state of being insignificant, inconsequence, illogical, not having relevance to the topic at hand, irrelevant, sidetracked, digressive, divergent, drawing apart from a common point, departing from convention, extraneous, immaterial. It means divergent, marked by or given to digression, inconspicuousness. It means commonplace, unimportant, deficient or absent of light and darkness. It means to be downcast, feeling or showing unhappiness or hopelessness, sad, downhearted, depressed, forlorn, despondent, dejected, desolate, heartbroken, heartsick, despairing, heavy-hearted, dispirited, distraught, distressed, undone. So you can see why a person would lack starch. And go, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. And Carla convicted me last night because I don't wait till people get there. Right, Carla? I got, that's right. But thank you. Praise you, Lord. But that is that I want to receive correction. Okay, if you're there. Fathers, verse 21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may not lose heart. And that word in the Greek means dishearten your child, dispirit your child, break your child's spirit. It means to be broken in spirit, which means crushed, fractured, fragmented. There you see the multiple personalities, ruptured and weakened in strength. In the King James, it says that they may not be discouraged. And the word discouraged means to take away the courage of the child, to lessen the hope of the child, to lessen their confidence, to try to prevent by disapproving, to frown upon, dishearten, depress, be of low spirits, to hinder through fear and loss of incentive. So a child that does not have that earthly father to protect him, to nurture him, to take care of him, to teach him, to train him, has a lot of fear in his life, holding back, fear to move out, to be hindered through fear and loss of incentive. And this loss of incentive and fear was the exact reason that these men that I had ministered to felt like failures in life. And surely the most wonderful aspect of being a Christian is that we have a unique relationship with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, with Father God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Spirit, who is the Lord of all of history. Hallelujah. Through faith in Jesus, each one of us can call him Abba Father, which means Daddy. Hallelujah. Go to Acts chapter 17, please. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. It says, though God the Father is creator of all things, he is known as a personal and loving Father only to those who call on him and seek His face. Hallelujah. And the good news is that Psalms 146 verse 9 says, the Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widows. Hallelujah. And you know, if you had a father that got your mother pregnant, that's not being a father. Fatherless means that I didn't have that input in my life. I didn't have that relationship with my earthly father. But I can have a relationship with God, the Heavenly Father. And so for me to have that relationship with God, the Heavenly Father, I need to seek His face. I need to call upon Him, and I have to forgive my earthly father, or I won't be able to experience the glory of God the Father. You know, God the Father's glory is greater than any human man can give you a glory. If an earthly father can give you all those things of what glory means in the dictionary and in the Hebrew, how much more would the Heavenly Father? That's just a speck. And I've seen people totally change. When God first gave me this message, it broke my heart for my own sons. Actually, I mean, for a couple of days, every time I'd think about it, I'd be so sad. And I shared this with my son, who's my pastor, who is the most godly man that I know. He's a man of prayer. He's godly. I never, because he's been such a good son, such a perfect son, such a godly son, I never saw how his father leaving at 12 affected him. And it broke my heart when I saw this. And I shared this with my son and told him that I was going to teach this at the next seminar, and he was there, and I have seen a total change. I see the glory of God the Father on him now. I see starch in him that wasn't there before. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Okay, and then Psalms 27:10 says, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, means loose me, left me, turned me loose, but the Lord will take me up and gather me. God says He'll take you up when your mother and father forsake you. But what do I have to do? Seek His face, call upon Him, and forgive my earthly father. Because when I don't forgive, it locks me into a negative pattern. And so ask God to take you up and gather you to Himself. Ask the Heavenly Father to come and fill the void left due to the lack of a father. Psalm 68:5 says, a father to the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in His holy habitation. Since God is a father to the fatherless, ask the Heavenly Father to come and be your father and come and be your glory. Now, if I don't want to obey God the Father, I don't have any glory, do I? The glory comes when I submit to His Lordship, let Him be in control, submit to authority, because now He's my authority, right? And since God is the Father to the fatherless, He's the best glory, He's the best Father, and He gives a greater glory than any earthly human father could ever give. Glory to God. So now that we're children of God, we are born into the family of God. Amen? And God is our Heavenly Father. So what I want you to do is I want you to stand up and I want you to think about everything about your earthly father that was negative. Now, you can think about the positive things later. And most of you probably have said, I forgive my father for this, this, this. But to get delivered, you have to specifically forgive your father for each thing. Like, I forgive him for being a slob. I forgive him for not being there. I forgive him for being a drunk. I forgive him that he never communicated with me. Did you know that that is the number one reason for prayerlessness? Is your daddy didn't talk to you? So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to show me everything that I need to forgive my earthly father for. And Lord, I want to seek your face. And I call upon you now to be my father. I call upon you to be my Abba father, my daddy. Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. What do I need to forgive my father for? And when you're through, if you'll sit down, then we'll do some more deliverance. Where did he violate the word of God in training me up? Lord, I forgive my earthly father for all the things you've shown me. I forgive him for not being there for me, missing, giving me away, abandoning me. I forgive him for giving to his new wife's children and not giving me anything. Lord, in the name of Jesus, if he sexually abused me, I forgive him. I forgive him for being a failure as a father. I forgive him that there was no one to pour into me the things that I needed from a father. I forgive him for no affirmation, for not teaching me how to succeed. I forgive him for being making me aimless. I forgive him for breaking my heart. I forgive him that he was not there to model what a father should be. I forgive him for not teaching me how to relate to this world. Lord, I forgive him for being remote and indifferent and unavailable. I forgive him for wanting a sex different than what I was. I forgive him for leaving me a wicked inheritance instead of a good inheritance. Lord, I thank you that you're my inheritance and I'm your inheritance. Lord, I forgive my father for leaving an evil legacy to me. Thank you, God, that you're a bigger father than him and that you can correct all of that. I forgive him for making me feel like I was worthless. I forgive him for not giving me starch, not giving me mental and physical energy. I forgive him for not giving me get up and go, vigorousness, vitality, enthusiasm. And then, Lord, if I had a father that was perfectionistic, raging, angry, performance-oriented, and that I couldn't relax around, I forgive him. And Lord, I renounce the lie that you're just like my earthly father. I forgive him, Lord, for not giving me direction and purpose. I forgive him for being ineffective and ineffectual as a father. Unproductive as a father. Unfruitful as a father. Useless as a father. Lord, I forgive my forefathers for not being a father and giving their children glory. I forgive my forefathers for abandoning their children. I forgive my father for wasting his time on worthless pursuits, being careless, treating me like I was not worth it. Forgive him for not valuing me. I forgive him for putting too much starch in me because of his performance and perfectionism. Lord, I just forgive my father for confounding me, confusing me, mixing me up, making me feel damned and uneasy. Lord, I forgive my earthly father that I could not respect him. I forgive him for not training, for provoking me to anger and hurting me in all these areas because he didn't bring me up in the way I should go. I forgive him for setting a demonic default in my life. Thank you, Lord, that you can change that default. I forgive him for not honoring me. I forgive him for not giving me a halo, a radiance to surround my head. I forgive him that I never had anyone to wear my jersey. I forgive him for not rejoicing over me, exulting over me. I forgive him, Lord, for making me feel paltry and worthless and ragged and trash and deficient and inadequate. And mere. And I forgive him for not considering me. Forgive him for being selfish, making me feel small and trivial and lowly and unimportant and insignificant. I forgive him that he caused me to be illogical and not having relevance to the topics of a hand, sidetracking, causing me to feel sidetracked. No one, I forgive him that he didn't help me. Forgive him for not nurturing me, hugging me, kissing me in appropriate way, giving me appropriate touch. I forgive him for being vacant, making me feel common and ordinary and downcast. I forgive him for not being happy with me. I forgive him for making me feel hopeless and sad and downhearted and depressed and forlorn and despondent and dejected and breaking my heart, and making me heart sick and causing me to despair and be depressed and lose my spirit, to cause me to be lethargic and to languor and be spiritless. I forgive him for disheartening me, exasperating me, breaking my spirit, crushing me, fracturing me, fragmenting me, rupturing me, causing my strength to be weakened. I forgive him for discouraging me, taking away my courage and lessening my hope, lessening my confidence. I forgive him for preventing me by disapproving. I forgive him for making me feel frowned upon, disheartened, depressed, of low spirits. I forgive him for hindering me through fear and loss of incentive. And Lord, I forgive him because he was not there to cover me. Lord, he caused me pain. And I forgive him, Lord, that he caused my life to be opened up to fear and me to lose my purpose and incentive. Lord, I thank you that I can have a unique relationship with you. And I can call you my Abba Father because I call upon you and I seek you now, Lord. And Lord, I forgive my earthly father for not being there, and for each negative thing you've shown me about him. I forgive him for forsaking me. I ask you to take me up, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to come and fill this void in my heart and take away my father hunger, and you be my father. Lord, you're greater than any earthly father. You're a father to the fatherless. And Lord, I've been fatherless. Come and be my father. Come and be my glory in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the vacancy of a father, through forefathers who abandoned their children. I forgive them all, and I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just ask you to come now and be my Father. Come and be my glory. I want you to lift your hands and receive his glory. Lord, I ask you to let your glory come down. I ask you to put a graceful wreath about their head and ornaments about their neck. And from this day forward, Lord, let them walk with your confidence that God guards them as the apple of his eye. And praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Lord, I ask you to heal their wounded spirits. I break the power of bitterness, unforgiveness, and hatred off their lives. I break the power of wounded spirits. In Jesus' name, I command every demon to leave now. I break soul ties. Pray with me. I break soul ties with my earthly father and with my forefathers who were not fathers and with my forefathers who had no fathers. And I sever with the sword of the Spirit every cord of control linking their souls to mine. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ, and I pull them out of 10 generations of the loins of their forefathers. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now I want you to close your eyes and say, this is God's, what God says to you. You, my child, you may not have known me, but I know everything about you. My child, I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I'm familiar with all your ways. Never again will you not have anyone concerned about your ways. I have even the hairs of your head are numbered. My child, you were made in my image. My child, you are my inheritance, and I am your inheritance. My child, in me you live and move and have your being. My child, you are my offspring. I knew you before you were conceived. My child, I chose your sex and I chose you when I planned creation. My child, I have a plan for you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. My child, I determined the exact time of your birth and what sex you would be and where you would live. My child, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb, and I brought you forth on the day you were born. Praise you, Lord. Now I want you to repeat after me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. As Jesus Christ is in this world, so am I. I am born again. I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am kept by the power of God Almighty. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am born again by the Word of God. I am complete in Jesus. My sins are nailed to the cross. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. I rule and reign in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is my Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I am a product of His love. I have love. I have joy. I have peace. I have long-suffering. I have goodness. I have gentleness. I have meekness. I have self-control. I have faith. I have mercy. I have kindness and humility. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. I always triumph in Jesus' name. I'm strengthened in all power by the might of the Lord. My nature is divine in Christ. My weapons are mighty in God to the tearing down of strongholds. I bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. All things are under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore under my feet. I've been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places. I have power over Satan in Jesus' name. I will not fail, for He will never leave me, fail me, or forsake me. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. A vessel of honor for God. A vessel of honor for God. Sanctify holy that I might be. A vessel of honor for God. Praise you, Lord. I'm learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on you, Jesus. Finding more power than I'd ever seen. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. will never leave you, fail you, or forsake you. He is a wonderful God. If you knew how much He loved you, you'd run and jump in His lap. And I want you to do that in the Spirit. You're sitting in that physical chair, but run in the Spirit and leap in His lap. Hallelujah. And Lord, let Your glory come down. Bless You, Lord. Thank You so much for letting me come, Glenn. I'm always blessed. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.